Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that you would be honored and glorified. We thank you for the life of Tammy and Rudy, Lord. We thank you that you have anointed them with the oil of gladness, Lord. You have given them joy in you in their lives. And Father, their departure, Lord, was a blessing. And Lord, to know that they are absent from the body and present with you right now is awesome and radical. And that's where a lot of us want to be anyway. We want to be with you. We want to be in your arms, Lord Jesus. But Father, you have a mission for us while we're here. And so we ask that you do that great work in us and through us to minister to others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, we're in Jeremiah. And we're going through this book. We're going to try to get through some chapters today. Hopefully a few of them, maybe three or four of them. We're at the Potter's House section, chapter 18. The old Potter's House. Have you guys ever gone down Prince and you seen that church on the right? If you go right now over the bridge and you go down and the sea, there's the American Home Furnishings. There's this place that you can rent, like a storage space. Is that what it is? And then there's like a strip of like stores, I guess. But in there, if you look to the left, you'll see it says the Potter's House. Isn't that cool? They get that from these chapters of Jeremiah, or the chapter, I think it's chapter 29, maybe, of Isaiah that speaks of a similar thing. If you were here Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, Peter Martin shared a little bit about the Potter. Might have been this last Wednesday from Isaiah, because they both prophets spoke about kind of a similar situation. So it says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him." So basically he goes to the potter's house. There was people that made pottery. And if it didn't look right, then he would smash it again. And have you ever seen someone do this? It's pretty cool. You know, Pastor Pat Lasevich does a great job, right? Yeah, when he smashes it, he makes a pot, and it looks like it's great. And he's like all shaping the pot, and the wheel's turning, and he's putting water on the clay, and it's making this beautiful thing. And then he picks it up, and he just goes, and squishes it. And you're like, dude, that was awesome. Like, why'd you do that? And he's like, it wasn't right. And I'm like, you know, he's just got such a fine eye that if the potter isn't coming up right, then it's, you got to smash it again and make it new. And so that's what he sees going on. And it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, 'Can I not do with you, house of Israel, as the potter does?'" Okay, so what did the potter do? What did he do to the clay? He smashed it. And so he says, "Hey, can I not do that too? Can I not smash the clay to you guys, since I am the potter?" And he says, "Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel." So it was to be a picture, right? Go to the potter's house and see what he's doing. And then this is just a picture of what God is to Israel. God is the maker of Israel, and he can do what he wants to Israel. Verse 7. "If at any time I announce that a nation, our kingdom, is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." Isn't that cool? What's an example of that in the Bible? A nation that was destined to destruction, but through its repentance, they did not be destroyed, and God relented. What was one of those? What was one of the nations that relented? What was one of the Bible books that is a... Okay, Nineveh, yeah, but what book of the Bible? That's right, Jonah. That's right, Jonah. Good job. Good job. That's right. Hey, I've taken you... We've gone through almost the whole... We're almost done with the whole Old Testament. Can you believe that? Guys, we've been through almost the whole Old Testament. We're going to be done with it pretty soon. I mean, hopefully you guys have gotten through Jonah, right? And you have. Nineveh. Right? So that's what God says. If they turn, I will relent on punishing them. In verse 9, And if another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good that I intended for it to do. So God says, hey, if that town, if that city is, I plan on building it up, but it doesn't want anything to do with me, then hey, maybe I won't. So you kind of, yeah, kind of, but you kind of get the idea that God is what? He's over things, right? He can do what he wants with it. Verse 11, now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow in the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Isn't that sad? God, even in this time, has mercy, dude. This is so cool. God is long-suffering. Did you know that? God suffers long, meaning his character is one that he will suffer long with you. Meaning even though you might be stubborn, and you might come in here stubborn, of God, not wanting God, not wanting to be here, bummed, everything like that. But God is long-suffering, meaning he's very patient with you. You know what I mean? He's not someone who just goes, you know what, you don't want me? Smack. Get out. He's patient with you. He's desiring for you to repent, and he's going to wait, and he does that. And I think it's cool that God's like that. I mean, just think if you had a friend who, man, every time you got upset, just said, forget it. You're not my friend anymore later. You know? But don't you like people that are merciful around you? That are forgiving? Absolutely. So God is that. Now, verse 13 goes on, and this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nations, who has ever heard anything like this? A most horrible thing has been done by virgin Israel. So Israel is compared now not only to a clay, a piece of clay molded by a potter, but also as a daughter of God, like a virgin daughter, a daughter who has never had intimacy with a man before. Verse 14, does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Do its cool waters from distant sources ever cease to flow? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in the ways in their ancient paths. They made them walk in byways on roads not built up. Their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. So it talks about how they will be kind of destroyed. They neglected the beautiful slopes that they had, beautiful water sources and everything that they had in Israel. They rejected that by rejecting God, because these are all blessings of God. And now they're going to get a land in verse 16, and the land is going to be totally decimated. All who pass by, it says, will be appalled and will shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before the enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. They said, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah. So now Jeremiah says this, and now people come at him. Now think of you in high school. You share something about God. Man! And then this is what's going to happen. Verse 18, they said, come, let us make plans against you. Against Jeremiah. For the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor will the word of the prophets. So come, let's attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything he says. So they say, what they say to Jeremiah, they go, hey, you know what? I don't like what you're saying, man. You know what? You're saying that the priests, the prophets of Israel are going to cease to say good stuff. Now, you got to understand, in Jeremiah's day, you had good priests, good prophets, bad priests, bad prophets. And so all the bad priests and the bad prophets are saying, shut up, Jeremiah. Dude, God's still going to use us. And Jeremiah's telling them, no, dude, God's not going to use you because you guys are not speaking the words of God. You guys are not listening to the words of God. And so these enemies of God are coming against. Even though they're pastors, even though they're teachers, even though all these things, they're actually enemies of God because they will not declare the word of God. You know, and so it's important for you guys to always remember that what makes a good leader in a church environment is someone who always goes off the Word of God. And you know how you can really see if someone, a leader, is good or not, or if I'm walking with the Lord or not? Holiness. Am I walking in purity? Honesty before you guys. It doesn't mean I'm perfect, but it means I'm honest about struggles in life. I'm transparent. I'm not hiding anything with you guys. Blah, 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 blah. My desire as a human being before God is to walk in a holy way, right? That's important, and you guys should know those things. And, you know, those are right leaders. But we get from here that there's a lot of false leaders too. And there's a lot of leaders that say things about God, but yet they don't walk in transparency, meaning they don't show really their hearts and really where they're at. They're messing around, you know, some religious figures messing around with children, right? That's a big problem, right? In a certain church, right? That happens all the time, right? Little children are getting molested. By who? The priests. It's crazy. Could you imagine that? My dad, to this day, has an animosity against the Catholic Church because he was an altar boy in the state of Maine at the Roman Catholic Church and was fondled by a priest. A leader in the church. And there's leaders in churches that go to camps and they take advantage of young women. As a leader, you know, you have something to share and you come and talk to me and I go, oh yeah, that's great, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you go, wow, Bo really listens, man. He's just an awesome dude. And I take advantage of you. And then you hear of these scandals of ministers having some kind of relationship with one of their members, their secretaries. It happens in Calvary Chapel. This just happened with one of our main pastors out of Florida. Calvary Chapel out in, I think, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Church is gigantic out there. Thousands upon thousands of people. I've heard this guy teach live many times. Funny, awesome, amazing, I mean, following, awesome, dude, amazing teacher. Left his wife for an affair, and to my knowledge, has not come back. It can happen. You know, you could be preaching, but your heart, man, is somewhere else. You know? How does that affect you? Well, you can be preaching. You can be preaching a message. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But your heart is nowhere near God. You know, and the kids that I despised the most in high school, man, the kids that I just hated, man, just hated their guts, man. I really hated them with a passion. I liked to cuss at them. I did. It felt good to get mad at them, were those Christian kids, boys and girls, that always talked about Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that. And then they just wanted to hang out with me at a party. Or they wanted to get with me. I saw them at a party. I saw them drinking. I just wanted to go up and just I hate you. I don't want nothing to do with you. Because not only do you put me down by your religion and say you're following God and you're Jesus and that I'm going to hell because I'm a bad boy, but you actually want to hang with me and drink with me and girls want to be with me. And man, I saw through that hypocrisy. And all that junk, that yucky religious junk. See, you can preach a sermon. And you do, by the way. All of you are preaching some sermon to someone. Whether verbally or by your actions in life. You are preaching to them. And whenever you declare to someone, I am a Christian, and that comes out of your mouth, bam. Has any of you ever said that? I am a Christian. You are preaching. Now your life is, you are a preacher. God has made us ministers. We are all a priest. We are a nation of priests, the Bible says. And so what is your world? What is your language? What is your statement to the people? Are you in Jeremiah's camp where you're going to be honest with people and say, hey, I stumble with drinking? Now, if those people I'm hanging out with said, Bo, I struggle with drinking. I struggle with sexual stuff. I'm a Christian, but I'm struggling, dude. I need help. That would be honest. That's honest. And I respect that. But when you play me for a fool, I don't respect that at all. See, and Jeremiah is having people come up to him and say, oh yeah, we know God too, bro. And you're off. You're off. You're the one who's wrong. You know, but he's saying, hey, nuh-uh, look at my life, man. Look at Jeremiah's life. Now, these guys come against him, and they say in verse 19, it says, listen to me, Lord. So this is Jeremiah's response to this attack. Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Now, check this out. This is awesome, verse 20. Should good be repaid with evil? What's the answer? In Jeremiah's brain, right? Jeremiah's brain is no, right? Should good be repaid with evil? The answer is no. Meaning these people are doing evil. So should you be good to them? No. Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you. Now check this out. They dug a pit for Jeremiah. These dudes are totally not into him. Remember that I stood before you and I spoke in their behalf and turn your wrath away from them. Man, see what I did, God? Verse 21, so give their children over to famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let them be put to death. Let the men be put to death. Their young men slain by the sword in battle. Isn't that cool? Jeremiah, totally, right? He quotes a Metallica cover. A song, right? The first album by Metallica, right? Wow. Which is called what? Kill 'em All. Right? And he basically says that, right? He goes, man, just wipe them all down. Verse 22, let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them, for they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. But you, Lord, know all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. But let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. What's cool about the Bible is you got totally different guys. Moses, dude, the people are having a rave, dude. They are raving, right? The first rave ever in the Bible, right, is basically they do the Ten Commandments. He comes down from the mountain and, you know, they're spinning music and the place is jumping, dude. It's bumping. I mean, MTV's there videoing it. And everybody's just having a blast, dude, right? And man, Moses, you know, is just freaked out, throws the Ten Commandments. And yeah, totally, God's totally mad at the people for having this rave, you know. And Moses' heart is one where he goes, man, God, please, you know, spare them. Don't blot them out of your book, man. Don't blot them out of your book, man, you know. Like, you know, spare them, you know, this kind of thing. Well, Jeremiah, how's Jeremiah's view of this whole thing? He says, man, get them. I mean, don't blot out their sins from your sight. Meaning, he does the opposite thing of Moses. He says, man, you get them, dude. Get them good. I mean, I hope you just annihilate these people. And haven't you ever just been 1 minute, you know, in the Lord? Like 1 minute totally serving God. You know, Jeremiah just gets done this beautiful thing with the potter and he gets his vision and he talks about, you know, the Lord and, you know, how awesome God is and he's sovereign over everything. And you just learn these beautiful truths and then the next minute, dude, you know, someone cuts you off the road and you're like, man, you son of a... You know, have you ever gone from just one extreme to the other, like in the Christian life, where 1 minute you're cool, the next minute, man, something's wrong, you know? And you realize how fragile you are as a human being? That you are just so fragile. You know, that you guys can be moved in such to fear and to anger in such quick ways. And, you know, fear and anger will make you do weird things, for sure. You know, especially fear. You know, when you're fearful, like Jeremiah, he just gets tossed into a pit. You know, when you're scared to death, you'll do just absolutely, you'll get angry, you'll do whatever it takes to survive. Jeremiah is definitely there. One thing I do want to point out to you, you know, Jesus said, love your what as yourself? Love your neighbors as yourself, love your enemies, those type of things. Here you see Jeremiah, is he loving his enemies? Is Jeremiah loving his enemies? You don't see much loving of enemies, right? Now, what's cool about that is, first of all, I really like that because Jeremiah the prophet struggled with that. He struggled with having compassion on his enemies. But I want you to see another truth too, and that is Jeremiah is addressing his thoughts to who? God. You can talk to God about anything. Anything. And you should. I would much rather you guys pray something very gnarly. Like, you know what I mean? Just, you know, when you're by yourself and you just say, God, man, I am hating this and blah, 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 blah. And it's really that way than some prayer of our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Wait, let me pull the string again. Let go. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what I mean? Like some weird doll. You know? Right? You guys don't remember those dolls, do you? Those string ones? You guys got to watch old shows. Those are awesome. Those weird creepy dolls. They do come alive. I'm just telling you guys. That's real stuff, man. Chapter 19. Nightmares tonight. No. That's right. Let's all watch another Twilight Zone. Let's do it. Okay, chapter 19. This is what the Lord says. Go and buy a clay jar from a potter. Take along some of the elders of your people and of the priest. And go to the valley of Ben-Hinnom near the entrance of the potsherd gate. Now, this place was a place where Israel was known to dump their idolatrous sacrifices. So when they would do their idol sacrificing, they would dump carcasses in this area. It was a place where the pottery from their idolatry would be dumped. It was kind of this dumping area. That's what it became. There proclaim the words I tell you and say, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring a disaster on this place that will make for ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. For they have forsaken me and made this a place of foreign gods, because that's where they all were constructed and dumped. They have burned incense to their gods that neither they nor their ancestors nor the kings of Judah ever knew. And they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have built the high places of Baal to burn their children in the fire as an offering to Baal. And you should underline that. If you have a Bible, man, you should underline that verse 5. These people, Israel was starting to burn their children as sacrifices before false gods. And it says something that God never commanded or mentioned, nor did enter his mind. God never intended or it never entered God's mind that children and there should ever be human sacrifice. Like that's how God would be appeased, is through sacrificing children, babies. So beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer call this place Topheth, which is the name, or the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. In this place I will ruin the plans of Judah and Jerusalem. I will make them fall by the sword before their enemies at the hands of those who seek their lives. And I will give their carcasses as food to the birds and the wild animals. I will devastate this city and make it an object of horror and scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff because of all the wounds. I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and daughters. That's radical. And they will eat one another's flesh because their enemies will press the siege so hard against them to destroy them. Now, when Jerusalem was taken siege by the Babylonians, basically they were starved out. And when Jerusalem became so starved out, then they did start eating one another. Haven't you ever seen one of those movies where people crash or something and they start eating each other and stuff like that? Well, these people started eating each other, and it's recorded by Jeremiah in his book called Lamentations. If you read that book of your Bible, Lamentations, you will read of this account. Okay? They then break the jar, or verse 10, now he tells Jeremiah to break the jar while those who go with you are watching. And say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says. So he gets the jar from the potter. We're still kind of in that scene. And he throws the pot down to the ground and it shatters. And then the prophet says, see what I just did, dude? It would be like me taking a jar and just, for some reason, just cracking it and breaking it. And if I did that, you guys would all be like, oh, whoa. Like, what's Bo doing? You know what I mean? Or what if I took my guitar, right? And I was playing, I got done worship, man, and I just went, bam! Dude, you guys would be like, oh. And then I said, this says the Lord. You are broken, bro. Like this guitar. That's what, look at what's going to say. This is what God does. Let's go to verse 11. Where are we at? Where is verse 11? And say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will smash this nation and the city just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired. They will bury the dead in Topheth until there is no more room. This is what I will do to this place and those who live here, declares the Lord. You want to use Topheth as a place of idolatry? Well, now it's going to be a place where you're going to bury your dead. That's how many people are going to die. Verse 13, the houses in Jerusalem and those of the kings of Judah will be defiled like this place, Topheth, all of the houses where they burned incense on the roofs to all the starry host and poured out drink offerings to other gods. Do you think God is concerned about worshiping other gods? Yeah. I mean, that's a big concern, right? And why is the Bible, why do you think God is so concerned about that? Why do you think the God of the Bible, when you read the Bible, that God is so concerned about our worship of false gods? What do you think? Let me ask you a question. What if you had a kid who, instead of going to you and you're the mom, just went up to anybody in the mall and just said, hey, mom, would you as a mother be like, oh, that's fine. That's cool. Or would you go, hey, son or daughter, you know, I'm your mom. And they go, oh, I know. Hey, mom. And then they go wandering around some more. And I mean, would you as a mother just be okay with that? What would we call that kind of mother? A bad one. A neglectful one? Yes. A crazy one? Absolutely. To let your kid go to any girl and call her mother and go hang out with her, let her take your kid home, you would be nuts. Absolutely insane nuts. See, if God's God, He's concerned about Him. And He's concerned about who He is in your life. Because He's God. And as God, He loves you and He cares for you. He's your Father. And so for you to go to another person bothers Him. Doesn't that make sense? Does that make sense in your brain? Yeah. So this is what God is concerned about. Verse 14 says, Jeremiah then returned from Topheth
where the Lord had sent him to prophecy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's temple and said to all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says." So he's yelling it out. "Listen, I am going to bring on this city and all the villages around it every disaster I pronounced against them, because they were stiff-necked and would not listen to my words." Man, you guys are going down. God is judging. I'm yelling it out, man, in the church. You guys are against me. You threw me in the pit, man. God's going after you. Verse 20. When the priest Pashur, which means prosperity, I think his word means like prosper, you will prosper, something like that. When the priest Pashur, son of Immer, so this is a priest, a religious person, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks. Who does that sound like? What? Daniel? Sounds like who else? I mean, Daniel? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus teaching in the temple. They getting upset. They wanting to beat him. Does it sound like Paul the Apostle? Yeah. Going into the temple, the area. Now, this would be the equivalent of someone coming in the church and saying, "Yo, get right. Get right with the Lord. I'm serious. Get right with Jesus today. Because if you die and you don't have the shed blood of Jesus to cover your sins before a holy God, you are going to hell. And you will burn for all eternity. That is the end place for you." That's not a happy thing. But it's a thing that's taught in the Bible. Something that must be preached. When we come to those passages, we're going to preach them. Because that's what it says. But then people come in and say, "No, dude, don't share that." You know, there's a preacher at the University of Arizona. And he's hardcore. He stands up in this quad area. Have you guys ever been down there and just see here to preach? He stands up in this quad. If you go to the U of A, you're going to see him. And he's just like, "Oh, you're going to go to hell if you do not repent of your whoredom. You will burn. Jesus came to set you free and pay for your sins." Dude, he's yelling this. Dude, it's radical, man. And dude, it's like, if you've never heard a preacher like this, it's cool to go down and just listen to this dude preach. But you know what? In all honesty, he's not saying anything that I could see that is not... I mean, most of the stuff, I would say 90% of what he's saying is relatively right on. He is. He's not. And the 10% that I kind of go, "I don't know," is nothing really major. Meaning his doctrine is pretty right on, man. He's laying it out. God created the heavens and the earth. He says that. Dude's awesome. Now, and there's a lot of people that come by him and they mock him. They go, "Ah, blah, blah, blah," and they get in his face and they're like, "Blah, blah, 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 blah." And he's got some cronies around him too, some friends that are there to like help him out. And they'll be like, "Oh, hey, you know, let's talk," or "blah, blah, 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 blah." And you know what I mean? So he can keep going. You know, so he's going. He's on his mission.
They put signs in his face.
Yeah, and they put signs in his face and they do all kinds of things, right, to get on him. You know, and I'm sure there's even Christians that walk by and go like, you know, and I just sat there on a park bench, just right in front of him, and just listened to him. You know, and just sat and listened to what he said, just to see what he's saying is wrong or right. And you know what, like I told you, I thought most of his stuff was right. Now, it's not what Bo is called to do, meaning I don't know if I could deliver something like that. I'm much more of a teacher than a preacher like that. But we all have our gifts from God. And I'm not going to knock this dude at all. The dude is called to get up on a hill at the University of Arizona and blast off. You know, and you know what? Right on. You know what I mean? Jeremiah does that. And now the religious movement come against him. See, I don't want to be the religious dude who looks at a guy who's street preaching
are publicly preaching and goes against them. Does that make sense? I don't want to be another Christian that walks down 4th Street and go, oh, dude, I'm so glad I'm not like that street preacher. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to go, hey, you know what? That dude's got a gift from God. He can get out on a street and he just goes and he can just blah. That's beautiful. Now, he might not be able to disciple people. That might not be his gift, or to teach people in more Bible, you know, what we call Bible studies. He might not be his thing. His thing is he loves to get out and preach the gospel in an open square. So what I'm saying is, be warned, Christians, that you don't put down other Christians because they're not exactly doing the things that you do. They might have different gifts. Does that make sense? And you might not be used to that gift, but it is a true gift of God that they can do that. Unless they're saying something, again, wrong, totally out there, you know, then I could see you saying, hey, that's off. But if they say everything that's right on in the Bible, and what their crime is that they're raising their voice, come on. Jeremiah got in the temple, man, and he yelled it out. And the priests, the religious people, came up against him. He had Jeremiah the priest beaten, and he put into the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. Isn't that sad? He was put into jail, basically, near the temple. The next day, when Pasher released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, "Woe! The Lord's name for you is not Pasher, is not prosperity, but it's terror on every side. For this is what the Lord says, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. With your own eyes you will see them fall by the sword of your enemies." Have you ever seen a friend die? Have you ever seen a friend die? Dude, that is a freaky, deaky thing. To see someone die, anyone die in front of your face, is pretty radical. But if you see a friend die in front of your face, that is very radical. And that will change your life forever. That will hit the heart in such a way. And that's what he's saying, is that you will see your friends die, man. The judgment that's going to happen to Jerusalem, you're going to be affected by it. And you're going to see your friends affected by it. "I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I will deliver all the wealth of the city into the hands of the enemies, all its products, all of its valuables, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon. And you, prosperity, and all who live in your house, in your nice house, your white little house with your picket fence, and your mommy and daddy." No, he didn't say that. But his name means prosperity. "And you, prosperity, and all who live in your house will go into exile. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies." Wow. What's the end result of the false prophets? They are going to be judged. You know, God is going to judge false prophets. Jeremiah's complaint. Now hear this. All that God's doing, man, this is crazy, right? Now hear what Jeremiah's complaint is. "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Wherever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction." He's all bummed. "So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak anymore in his name, his word in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones. Indeed, I can..." He says, "I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." But notice the prophet's heart. Is he seem happy at this point? Does Jeremiah seem stoked with God? No. See, to be a Christian means to be real. It means to be real. And sometimes God calls us into areas that are struggles. There's no doubt about it. And your high school, man, the place that you're going might be a real struggle. There's people there that want nothing to do with God. You think they're your friends, man, but they are not And I'll tell you that right now. You think, a lot of you guys are deceived. You think people are your friends and you're so into it. You think that they're right there, but you're so deceived. And you will learn. One day you will learn that they are not your true friends. That when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, they will not want to be around you. And that's how you'll know that they are not really your friends. They are not for your benefit. You know? And like Jeremiah, you guys are going into a place that, man, it's like a lion's den. There's no doubt. High school's crazy, man. There's all kinds of things that are going on. And it's hard to stay strong. And it's hard to stay positive. And sometimes you can just do what Jeremiah does. And you can just come to God and be real and just say, God, you know what? You say you're a good God, but really things suck right now. Things aren't that great. And I really don't like high school right now. I'm struggling. And that's so good to be honest, man, with God. You know, everybody in the hardcore world, you know, when whether it's graffiti crews or music world or any of the cultures that I've been involved in, the only thing people don't like in those cultures, you know, are people that are fake. That's what people don't like. You know, people want realness. And God, above all, wants you guys just to be really honest with Him, just to be real, man. If you struggle with something, come to Him. You know, when you're in high school, lean on God. Go towards God. You know, give Him your heart. Every day, say, God, this is a struggle, but I'm going to go through this, man. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to lean on Your Word through this. Help me to deal with these people that are pressuring me to do certain things, because that's going to happen in your high schools. And if you fail, if you stumble, bring those stumbles before God and ask God to help you through those stumbling parts, to bring those, bring it honestly before God and things like that. And that's how I was in high school. When I finally gave my life to Christ at my end of my senior year, man, all I did is bring to God everything. God, I got high again. God, I did meth again. God, I did cocaine again. God, I struggled with this again. God, I hung out with that girl again. God, help me. Everything was God now. God, man, I'm a mess. God, I cuss. I like the F word. Help me. Everything was just bing, bing, bing. I just directed everything to God. And it's amazing how God just kept working in my life and working on my heart, working in things, just kept doing it. He's just like the repairman, dude. He's just like, I'm going to fix that fridge. Okay, I'm doing the sink. You know what I mean? I'm cleaning the bathroom. You know what I mean? And my mouth was the bathroom. He's scrubbing the toilet. It's just all, with the, you know what I mean? Horrible. Anyway, man, God wants to be with you guys for high school. We have 15 minutes. Why don't we just have some guys and girl time? You know what I mean? So all the guys get with the guys, leaders, and do some prayer together. And then all the girls get with the girls and just get with them too. And if you guys have any needs for, you know, pray about it.